This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Amen. May the Holy Spirit add to our understanding as we think on these things. Which of you here today has ever seen a horror movie entitled Count Dracula? Anybody who went to the movies in the 1960s would remember those Technicolor films. Now, the minister isn't here, so I'll have to be very careful that raising a subject like Count Dracula in church. But God's got a sense of humor, and he usually deals it with me when he's showing me things one way or another. So with that thought in mind, they were popular in the 1960s, and I remember going to see them as a teenager, and I was scared out of my wits. Whilst we know the story of human vampires is purely fictional, can you remember some of the facts about Count Dracula and his vampires? Well, when he bites his victim's neck and feeds on the blood, the victim appears to die. However, after the burial, they return into a twilight existence, a life of the living dead, and thereafter, they can only go out at night. And if they're caught in the sunlight, they shrivel up and die. Now, this is all fiction, guys. I'm saying it again. It's fiction. But during the night, they look for ordinary people, or they look like ordinary people. So how do you tell if someone was a vampire? How could you tell? Well, one of the ways, as the legend tells it, is by looking at their reflection in a mirror. You see, a mirror reflects light, and Dracula and his vampires are so evil, they're without light. So the story goes. So if you're in a room and you notice someone pass before a mirror and you don't see their reflection, pull out your cross, eat lots of garlic, and run for the sunlight. Page number 3, try to hide behind page number 2. Although the stories of Dracula are just fanciful, fictional myths, as always, we can find elements of truth within such stories. For instance, this part about not being able to see Dracula in a mirror, not being able to see someone who is bad in a mirror because there's no light in the badness. And therefore, the mirror cannot reflect the image. Do you think that's possible? I bet I can show you someone in this mirror who is bad, and you won't be able to see that bad person whilst everyone else in the room will see him or her. I mean, I know, you know, I look in. Now, you can all see me in that mirror, can't you? You sure? Mike Johnson's being quiet today. I was relying on Mike, you know. When I look at myself in the mirror, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you will see probably a good person. Hopefully you do. Or you think you are. But the facts of life are, the facts of the Bible are different. Because we're told, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're told quite clearly that no matter how hard we try, we are actually often bad. We're not good. We think thoughts, stuff we should do, we don't do, and so on and so forth. So, isn't that why the old prayer is still used today, which goes, please, Lord, help us see ourselves as others see us. Yes, it is true that we can see the bad in others far more easily than we can see the bad in ourselves. And this week I've been thinking about the comparisons between a Christian and a mirror and how similar the two are. Firstly, the only thing that a mirror needs to work is light. It reflects light and therefore cannot work in darkness. Likewise, the only thing that we need to operate as a Christian in the darkness is the light of Jesus. If we're in darkness as far as Jesus is concerned, then we will not operate as a Christian. Just like a mirror in the darkness, we'll have the capability, but we will not be of any use. And likewise, what good is a mirror that does not reflect light as an image? No good at all. Did you ever try using a mirror that had been scratched on the silver backing? It's very difficult, especially when you see through to the clear glass and out onto the room beyond. It's very difficult to see that image. And in the same way, what good is a Christian who does not reflect the light of Jesus into the community every day, not just Sunday? Are we like a scratched mirror that reflects the light of Jesus in this beautiful way that we've seen this morning on a Sunday, but the backing has been scratched off when it comes to Monday? Perhaps we have a Bible study or cell group on a Wednesday and the light comes back and we reflect the light of Jesus. So if week after week Christian comes to church and receives Jesus into life, but like the scratch mirror, allows the light to pass right through it, then we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. For a mirror to reflect true image, it has to be flat and even. For even if it's warped and it's a mirror and it has light, the fact that it's warped, the image is distorted. Do you remember ever going into a house of mirrors at a carnival? You know, you either look short and squat or tall and skinny, and you know which way. The light was there, but the image was distorted because the mirror was warped. And likewise, we're warped in our understanding of God's word. We will reflect a distorted light of Jesus. We'll reflect something that is not quite true. It's distorted. And the most common distortion is to interpret God's word in such a way that we take all that we like to hear about God's love, God's provision, God's answering prayers, and we leave out God's holiness, God's absolute authority, and the need for repentance and restitution. That's a warped testimony. It is at this point that we need to remember the teaching of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants. For Jesus' sake, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have the treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Read that again sometime this week. And when I started to compare a Christian with the properties of a mirror, I thought, yes, that's it. It's to be able to shine the light of Jesus into dark places. I had an image of someone standing back in the light and shining the light into the dark corner of humanity out there. Surely, that's the message. But no, something wasn't quite right. What was it? And as I searched and dug around in prayer and thought and scripture, the word for us today started to dawn on me in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, where we're told, let light shine out of darkness. If it didn't tell us to let our light shine into darkness, it said, let your light shine out of darkness whilst we're in the light. And the meaning of the word of God for me is this. Firstly, let light shine out of my darkness. The miracle is God has allowed his light of Jesus to shine out of the darkest place, which is my heart. Let the light shine out of darkness, which is within me. Because when we make it personal, that's when the power will come. I'm therefore led to understand that as God stood in all of his radiance, he did not just reflect his light into our dark world of humanity. No, he came into the darkness and brought his light, the light of Jesus, into the world. He did what he practiced, what he's preached to us today. He came into this dark place, and the light of the world, which is Christ, shone from the darkness out. He did not remain outside, aloof and uninvolved. Jesus brought the light of God's love to mankind, as he still does today, into the darkness of each human heart. If we are to mirror what Jesus did, then we have to go into dark places of the world and reflect his light and love. Scripture reminds us that the treasures of God's love is carried within us, and that we are likened to clay jars. God has poured his love into us through Christ, by his will and power, not by our will, our power, or our good deeds. And so, to follow God's scripture of let light shine out of darkness, we have to first invite Christ into the darkness of our own hearts, and then to allow his light to shine. And it will. You will not need a degree in theology if you ask Jesus to come into your life. Make yourself available. His light will shine in your dark life, in the dark places in our community. We have to be in the darkness, but always with our spiritual face turned towards the light of Christ. Then we too will know and experience what the psalmist said in Psalm 18, verse 28. My God turns my darkness into light. My darkness. My God turns my darkness into light. What is my darkness at this moment in time? Perhaps it's economic stresses and strains. Perhaps it's sickness. Perhaps it's loneliness. Perhaps it's broken relationships in family. Whatever it may be, my God turns my darkness into light. When Jesus comes into our hearts, we can't remain aloof. We can't remain without compassion. From that moment on, Jesus makes his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We know what we know. We cannot deny it. We know what we know. Maybe we can't express it as some can, but we know what we know. We're loved. God loves us. And the residual effect is it overflows. We cannot help but love if we're loved so much. His light shines in our hearts to give us the light and the knowledge of the glory of God, which is in the face of Christ Jesus. Is there any place that's too dark for the light of God to shine? To shine and to brighten? Is your fear of loneliness too dark? Is your fear of illness too dark to be lit by glorious light, hope, love, and joy? There's nowhere that's too dark for the light of God's love not to come and make a difference. And in fact, this is a fact. The darker the place, the brighter of the light of Christ will shine. When Lillian and I were ministering for 12 and a half years down in the Beach Mission, there were people living under the piers. They had to live in twos under the piers because people would steal their shoes and things. And the rats would also trouble them. And yet, the very limited amount of theological knowledge shone in that place. The least amount of kindness, the least amount of giving somebody a sandwich was so small, and yet it was so bright. You understand? In a way, when we came back from the beach mission, we went back to Westville Presby. It was like a soldier coming back from Vietnam. The people were sitting in the congregation waiting to be entertained by the minister. It was a spectator sport on a Sunday. And it got to me for a while. The people who are in the bottom and the darkest place, the outies down on the beachfront, they raised their voice and praised God and had so much faith because such the light shone so dark that in that dark place was the light shone so brightly. The light and the love of Christ. So won't you join me in the light of God, which is the Son of the living God. It is in the name of Jesus to shine through us into the dark places around our lives. To shine into lives of poverty. To shine into the lives of illness. To shine into the lives of fear and loneliness. Because although we are rough jars, we're in rough jars of clay, we've had the priceless, free, pure gift of God's love poured into us. Hey, who's moaning? Who's moaning about whatever in their life? The love of God has been poured into your life. Into your life. How valuable is that? How wonderful is that? And so, as we pour that gift out to others, the gift so given to us by God, the power of His Holy Spirit, will fill us and fill us up again and again. And then the words of that simple hymn come to mind, which is the call for us today. It's the takeaway for us today. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so let it shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. When the Word of God says, God is near, the truth of that is, you are near to somebody. And if this is real, not just a happy club, a glee club, you are the Word of God going out to your neighborhood, amongst your friends, amongst your family. And Jesus bids you shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. I can't reach your corner, but God can reach your corner through you. Amen? Love you. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, thank you for filling us with your word. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. Father, shine brightly. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill us with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. In our lives, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.